Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and the Dill.
The big Dill.
Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest for you. And the latest is we are live right out here, and it is the crowd is starting to go through, man, as people are coming on down here, 5 o'clock. You got spots where you can get drinks, samples. I'm about to sample me one something. Food around here. There's a drink spot right there, Clint. I think they got some popcorn or something. I know you're hungry. To jump on something here.
I'm starving.
They got it all for you, man. It's a good time to be had out here as the Texans draft party right here downtown, right in front of the George R. Brown Convention Center, and that's where we are as well. And it's going to be going down tonight here as the Texans are in the second round. By the way, 5 o'clock fire brought to you by Kirk Holmes. The Texans have two picks in the second round. And wow, this girl did just put her head in the water. Okay. The Texans have two picks in the second round and one in the third as well. So a big night potentially for the Houston Texans. And Clint, let's hear it from you real quick and we'll go through what we see from the draft besides the Texans. But the top three positions, and I think all of them are there, the top three positions that you want to see filled, just positions that you want to see filled with these picks that they have tonight.
Well, it's easy for me, man. It's on the defensive side of the football, and I think the way this thing is playing out, it's corner, defensive tackle, and potentially linebacker. And I think when you look at what's available right now, because of the way the first round played out, you've got some big time players right now at every one of those positions that'll be available. Now, once you get into that second round pick, it's later. What is that, 59? I mean, that I don't know what's going to be available there. They may have to do a little moving and shaking to move up from there. But I think that first one at 42, that's the one that's going to be interesting. That yesterday I was talking about, well, it needs to be a rotational player that could potentially make a little noise by midseason and maybe comes on to his own. I think this is actually the way this draft is played out is that 42nd overall pick is a guy that potentially could plug and play, and we as fans see a lot more of than what I personally expected. So if you want me to give you three positions, I would go all on the defensive side of the football. I'd go safety, linebacker. I'm sorry, corner, linebacker, and defensive tackle in no specific order.
The thing I'm really intrigued about to see, Clint, is are they comfortable? We talked about this yesterday. Is there a group of players where you're sitting there and you're like, man, we got about four or five guys that we have around the same grade, and that we are comfortable getting any of them, or are they working in a thought of there's a guy, there's a particular dude that we want to get our hands on, that's who we want to get, like I think they did with DeNico Collins when they went up to go get him, like, yeah. I think they did with a Juice Scruggs when they went up to get him, and obviously the ultimate one to go get Will Anderson Jr. Is there
same
a guy?
Tank Dell.
Tank Dell, yeah, they moved up to get him. Is there a guy that they are seeking to get? And that's the wonder. Are they going to move up? Are they going to sit there? Because I think they probably could sit there at 42 and 59, and at least at the 42 spot, Clint, still get what you're talking about, a guy that can jump in and really impact the team immediately?
Yeah.
Or, to me, do they go up? And I think there are some guys that I wouldn't be surprised that they're looking at to say, this is guy over grouping that we would go up to go get. That's going to be the really fascinating thing to see what the Texans are going to do in this.
For me, I don't know who it is because we're not in that war room.
No, we're not
privy to that information. But we've seen the way that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans operate is it's more that's our guy.
It has seemed to feel that way.
It seems like Nick Caserio identifies a guy, and if that guy is attainable.
And maybe the only time they haven't was the Kenyon Green where they said we'll bounce back two spots. Because maybe there's still a guy there that we want to get.
But ultimately, you got to believe that they like Kenyon and they felt like they could bounce back and still get Kenyon at 15 or 13 or whatever the hell it was. I think the one thing that we've learned about Nick is he has – there's no doubt about it. He's got a preference. I don't think it's we're going to sit and wait until somebody falls or we like a several guys and we'll just take whoever's available when it lands on us. I think he will get aggressive – and go get the guy that he wants without a doubt.
Yeah, so we'll see. That'll be the thing to really, really watch is to see what it is that the Texans do at that 42 and 59 spot. I think they could move up both of them. I think they could do – they have enough ammo to be able to do that. All right, outside of the Texans in this draft, the quarterbacks have been – oh, he needs one. The quarterbacks have been – go ahead, he needs one right there. The quarterbacks have been the story. Six of them going in the first round, and I'm wondering if we see any more. The way it was going, the six going in the top 12. I thought Spencer Rattler, who was thought of being the seventh one, might have a shot. Might have a shot to go in. I wonder what happens in this round and this day too with the quarterback position. Spencer Rattler might be one that comes off pretty early in the board.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, he could. Who's the other one? There's one more.
I know the kid from Florida State.
My mind just went blank. No,
that's
not him,
not Jordan Travis. Maybe.
Gosh, dang it, my mind just went blank. It's a small school kid, I believe. You're right. Spencer is one. Michael Pratt, the kid from Tulane.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I was thinking about. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm looking at the list of quarterbacks right now, Ron. I bet you several of these guys come off the board before the end of the draft. Not tonight, but I bet you several come off the board. Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, Jordan Travis, you mentioned, the Devin Leary kid that was at NC State and then went to Kentucky. He's undersized, but he's a guy that's played a lot of football. Joe Milton, the big-armed kid of Tennessee. I think he was at Nebraska and UCF. I mean, he bounced all over the place, but that arm is going to turn some folks on. And then Sam Hartman, you want to sell some tickets to some ladies, go ahead and draft him late in this draft and give him a headshot on a billboard and you sell some tickets. But I bet you there's a handful of these guys that end up coming off the board before the end of the draft.
Yeah, it's interesting because second round, you draft a quarterback in second round, that used to mean that they could potentially be a starter for you down the line.
That's where your head's at.
I don't know if that is anymore because I don't know that Hendon Hooker is ever going to start. For the Detroit Lions, we'll see. But that's going to be one to watch. Those were the moves that were so big and prevalent in that first round, the quarterbacks going down. We will continue this last segment or this last hour here to keep you ready for this draft. This guy's hot as hell in this helmet. I mean, what my man is feeling it right there. He is ready to go. You should have thrown him a ball. That guy
never looked at me.
He didn't look at you.
Going
God, you should have thrown him a ball.
My clothes.
Thank you. That would have been it. All right. We'll keep you updated here as day two is getting going and the party is getting going right here. And we'll be ready for the Texans as they draft at 42 and 59.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. This outside of the draft NFL news, fellas, I think this can affect the Texans as we're looking down the line at the receiver position. The last 2 days, the Lions, they get a deal for their receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They give him $120 million, 77 guaranteed over 4 years. And then yesterday, the Eagles, who are just signing everybody and taking care of everybody, they bring in and sign A.J. Brown. They just took care of their other wide receiver, Devontae Smith. They took care of their quarterback. They took care of a pass rusher in the offseason. They took care of Saquon Barkley. They took care of Dallas Goedert. I mean, they are not afraid. But they signed A.J. Brown. He has the highest contract per year for a receiver at $32 million. They signed him 3 years, $96.84 of that guaranteed. Now, I don't know where Nico Collins could fall, but these are the last two signings. Now, I don't think he goes up to the A.J. Brown situation because that's more than Tyreek Hill. I don't think he does that, but the St. Brown contract is interesting to look at. If Nico Collins has a breakout, another big year, he had a breakout year, but if he matches that, potentially, Clint, this may be around the money that you're looking at if you want to keep him.
What'd you say St. Brown got?
He got 4 years, 77 guaranteed. 4 years, 120.
Guarantees what matters? Boy, Nico's have to have a monster year.
I was going to say, what does Nico have to do to get to that? Because I'm telling you, Clint, if Nico, and especially with Diggs and them here, if he replicates his year, if he goes nearly 1,300, 80 catches, and those touchdowns, he's damn sure going to probably push to get that. And I think somebody will probably give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, look.
With his age.
You know, I don't think he's going to get even remotely close to what the top-tier guys are going to get.
I don't care what kind
of year he has, but.
Is 77, do you get, is that what you're.
Yeah. I mean, because you're not going to be able to deny it, man. If he'd have stayed healthy, he'd have went for damn near 1,500 last year. I mean, and what I love about it is what I see Nico. I don't think there's going to be enough balls to go around for Nico to
put up numbers like that.
I just don't think he's going to like be able to put up the same numbers he put up last year. But what I love about Nico is the way I saw him have success. It's very easy to go, yeah, that dude could go play that caliber ball again. It wasn't a bunch of 50-50 balls. It wasn't a bunch of getting behind coverages. It was within the system. It was run after catch. It was big, you know, strong hand catch in traffic. I mean, everything that he was doing, it's very easy to go, if he can sustain this for a couple of years and convince people that that's him and it wasn't just a one-hit wonder, then he's going to get paid good money for it, without a doubt.
Yeah, Clint, they're going to definitely have to monitor his first part of the season. Because if we get through here and you know that they have had no fear of taking care of trying to get guys midseason,
right,
and get contracts. Like, if you look up at that first 5-6 weeks and he's starting to go off, because I could completely see a scenario where he is one of the guys that's getting left singled up with, you know, with Diggs in the middle of the field and things like that. You could see him get a lot of one-on-one and help just his yards after catch. His ability to break tackles is something there. That's one to monitor, because I do think if he has a big season and he gets to free agency, now you're talking a chance to have to, you know, you got to compete with people.
Yeah, I'm not signing anything. Yeah, I'm going.
You're waiting.
I'm gonna bet on myself, and I'm going to free agency.
Yeah. Now they throw that into you. They throw that in your face. Figgy decided to come out here hot as hell as well, and it is. So that'll be interesting to watch, to see where he goes money wise. But those are the latest two deals with wide receivers, one to look at for the Houston Texans down the line.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night the draft took over a lot, but the playoffs, the NBA playoffs continued last night. And these two entertaining series, the Philadelphia 76ers were able to get a win at home as Joel Embiid, Clint, went for 50 last night with his bad legs. Again, I stand by it. I think Joel Embiid is hurt. I do believe Joel Embiid is really playing up his injuries. You can't be laboring to 50. That don't even make sense. You can't, like, you know, just like I stand by it. I don't believe Michael Jordan was that sick that day. You just don't labor to do what he was able to do, as sick as we were expecting him to be, as sick as he was. At 50 burger to get them back. And then one of the most psychological mind tricks I've ever seen. The Denver Nuggets just the Lakers cannot do anything with the Denver Nuggets. It looks like they play games, Clint, when they play this team and wait for this for them to fall apart. When are we going to lose? When is it going to happen?
Yeah.
When is it going to happen? And the third quarter was when it happened. So the Lakers are done. That series is over.
How bad does that hurt you?
That's killing me. Last night, just sat there in anger.
Yeah, me and Tyler decided we're going to take the high road. We're not going to kick a man when he's down. So we're just going to let you buzz on through that, man.
You know, I put it on myself more than anybody. Yeah, there's Toro hot as hell. It's a good time. No, man, that thing is over. It is. Someone texted in and said the Lakers win. No, they didn't win. They didn't win. Damn it. And yes, it pisses me smooth off. All right, coming up as we continue live out here, Sean Pendergast has the belt. And he's going to hit Clint in the face if you're looking at us on YouTube and Twitch. We'll let Sean jump in and join us coming up in the next segment as we get you ready for the Texans as they have two picks. I want to see if Sean is with my theory. This is three different Texans, three different people associated with the Texans, I think are giving hints and clues to where I think they're going to go. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Texans draft party outside George R. Brown Convention Center. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are live here, getting you ready as the draft party is starting to get going. I can see this already. This looks like some bad decisions are going to get made here.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
There's a lot of that around these parts, Tyler.
Why'd you say that when I walked up?
When you walked up, I'm just starting to see this crowd come together, and I'm seeing as many stops as you can get. You can get that drink. You get a little food. I'm seeing all these stops.
Easy access in bars. Look at that bar. That bar over there is all by itself. There's no lines, no nothing, man.
Nothing. Look at this right here. I mean, this is bad decisions about to be made right here.
Dude, the Friday draft party? I could get used to the Friday draft
party. Friday draft party.
Friday draft party, yeah.
Especially with your early mornings, man, you got a Thursday night, you got to temper yourself no matter what kind of fun's being had, right? No, Friday's tomorrow. Like to hell with it.
I just got to be at the studio by 11 for day three tomorrow.
Oh, there you go, baby. There you go. Get it loose. No, that's Sean Pendergast. He's with us. Remember, draft coverage, that's coming up behind us. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and then your partner, Seth Payne, is going to be a part of the crew. I see Seth just walked up. I was afraid me and Seth's going to have on the same shirt today. I saw him earlier at the office, but he switched out of the red, went with the blue.
He brought all the uniforms with him.
Oh, yeah, he did. I bet he did. So, a big night tonight here. And, listen, I told Clint this, and Clint doesn't want to hear this, because he's totally against the wide receiver position. He is completely against it. And I think –
What do you mean he's against it? Against the Texans taking it?
Yes, and especially in the top. I think – is it just the top – These two second round picks.
I've told you from jump. I don't care what they do after these two twos.
Okay, the two twos. But if one
they
of
do
these,
whatever the hell you want.
Yeah,
that's
one of these twos are a receiver. Monday you're gonna flip.
Sean, it's simple, man.
I think it's gonna happen.
And this is not just as it pertains to the draft. Like, I am really concerned that we start approaching things as if we're established and this roster's rock solid and boy we go. You know, hey, look. We had a good season last year, right? Nick and the guys have done a hell of a job building this thing, and they've hit on some monster draft picks. We're just not in a position, right? In my opinion, we're not in a position right now where we can draft for the future. You know, we can draft for the not with the more premium picks. Yeah. And I want to see the guys that are drafted, particularly with these two second round picks.
Yeah.
I want to see them at the very least be rotational pieces that help us win ball games. That if there's an injury somewhere. All right, it's your turn, big boy. Jump up there. That's what I hope for. And wide receiver, for me, there ain't enough balls to go around, man.
Well, here's what I would say about that, because I'm not totally anti-wide receiver. I'm probably in between you two guys. Oops, I just hit your camera there. Show.
That's all right.
There
I'm
we
sexy.
Go.
Come on, Sean.
Here's what I would say is that You've got Stephon Diggs under contract for a year, and I think this is going to be a one-year relationship with Stephon Diggs, if I had to guess. I don't think it's going to be a multi-year thing. You got Nico Collins under contract for a year, and I think that's going to be a long-term thing, but these damn contracts that keep popping up with these receivers make it look awfully pricey. $32 million a year for A.J. Brown? Holy smokes. So I think drafting a receiver, I don't think is, depending on who it is, sometimes we have to apply names to this too, like blank receiver is just, you know, so I...
He's eating this up.
This is number four.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, we don't know what John Metchie is right now either. You know, CJ's saying all kinds of nice things about John Metchie. I get what you're saying, Clint, but I wouldn't be up in arms if they drafted
I'm just saying, Clint. I try to tell him you did it too. Yeah. Vandermeer on.
He's just analyzing the current situation.
What, I mean, well, I'm just saying,
anybody that knows the roster analyzes the situation, and I get that. But here's my deal.
Vandermeer said it. John Harris said it.
Right.
Now Sean said
Here's my deal with it, Sean, is you draft a guy in the second round this year. Mm-hmm. Let's say he goes out there and gets you 15 catches this year. 17 catches this year.
Yep.
Is that guy really going to make you feel real comfortable about the wide receiver room if you don't sign Nico or Diggs after this year?
Probably not,
but you still got a lot of work to do.
I get it. You're painting a picture where the guy hardly contributes at all. Like, I think my expectation would be if they drafted somebody with that pick, there's a decent chance they'd get in the rotation somehow, because you're assuming health also. Tank Dell missed half the season with a broken leg last year.
Nico Collins is
the first year Nico's been relatively healthy.
And he still missed four games.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, that I would point out is once either one of those guys went out, either Tank or Nico, and I think for a time they were both out, at least a game or two.
Can't count on Noah.
Nobody could get open after that. Like, that's the thing is there was such a big drop-off from those two guys to the next guy. And obviously Stephon Diggs is more than a bridge to get to that next wave of the roster. I think whatever they do at the receiver position is going to be a huge referendum on how they feel about John Metchie III and Xavier Hutchinson and the rest of that. The non-Diggs Tank Nico.
I just found it interesting. We had on Mark Vandermeer on Tuesday, and he was saying he said that just same thing, that, hey, you don't have – there's no guarantee that you have Diggs and Nico pass this year. And the thought could be to draft to have a guy ready for that. I listened the next day with John Harris. Number two person that is connected with the Texans. I'm not saying they know everything that's happening, but I think they know how these guys kind of think. He said the exact same thing. CJ, yesterday said, we'll get a receiver anyway.
Yeah.
He said that's three. Yeah. And now you're saying it too, the pre and post game host. I'm just telling you.
Ron, it don't matter who you get to tell me about the contract situation with the Texans. I'm still anti-wide receiver.
I'm just saying we had at least two people we know, three people connected with the Texans and the pre- and post-game show host saying the same thing.
My preference is they go defense, just to be clear. I'm not standing on the table for receivers, but I'm not – you're anti-receiver right now.
But the same thought around the receivers you can say around the cornerback situation. You got two guys opposite Stingley on one-year deals.
The cornerback situation. Yeah, no, it needs addressing.
I mean, you look at the safety position. I mean, I don't know what Jimmy Ward is in hell. I mean, I'm a little higher than on Petrie than In the Loop is, but we don't know a lot beyond this year about several positions. To my original point, Sean, like, we got to – I mean, I love where the Texans are at right now, but we got to
let me. Yeah, no, I say real quick, Show. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, if I'm hearing you, what you're saying is, like, they can go into this season with the receiver room as is, and they're going to be awesome.
Yes.
They're going to be fine.
Yes.
Probably, unless they get hit with a bunch of injuries. The other ones, cornerback and interior defensive line, they ain't fine right now.
Agreed.
Okay.
But I just – we've had fun with this, Clint. But is it not different to you with the thought of they've got 2 second-round picks? They have 2 of them. Like, for me, this team, I don't think this team is in Super Bowl or bust mode, right? I don't think it's like certain teams got to have it right now because Baltimore's got to win a Super Bowl, right? The Niners got to win a Super Bowl, right? The Lions may be shifting into that space. The Texans are, there are expectations, but it's not like Super Bowl or bust expectations. And when you have 2 seconds, a third, and 2 fours, to kind of fill the void of these spots, that's to me why I can see maybe receiver there or some future stuff, offensive line in the future, tackle, is because of the amount of picks that they have.
See, I would blow a gasket if they drafted a tackle.
Oh, I wouldn't. That would make complete sense to me.
I would too.
That would make complete sense to me because right now you know you're not going to keep – to me,
you need to see if you can get a gig in Atlanta.
I don't need to see if I get a gig. What they're doing. I think really good organizations prepare, and then I got 2 tackles that come up where I can get out of their deals after this year. Am I going to sit here and pay them at the same time when CJ and Will Anderson's deal – are potentially able to be added on? How about I draft the tackle and get ready for it so he's here with me for a year, and then I feel better about him stepping in rather than doing what the Cowboys are doing right now and drafting a tackle that's probably a project that may have to start immediately. So I when you have the luxury of extra picks, I would not blow a gasket. That would make sense to me.
Ooh, I'd have a hard ass time making sense of that.
And when you say can get out of it after a year, like that, they're both on 3-year extensions, Laramie and Titus. Like, can get out of it means, yeah, you can let them go. But I got to imagine there's a lot of dead money on whoever you're letting go.
After this, it would be 2 years, and next year will be year 3 for both of them. The bulk of the money is already spent.
Okay.
Now their cap hits are not going to be as big.
Yeah.
They may keep them both.
Yeah. I skew more towards Clint on anything on the offensive line. Seth and I kind of duke it out on this sometimes too. I don't want them to touch offensive line in the second round of this draft. Seth, I know, is cool with them. If they want to look at the interior, that left guard position, something comes up, your best available is a guard. Because nobody feels settled with Kenyon Green and Kendrick Green and the merry band they've got going on there. But
right.
I'm with you on the offensive line. I'm probably in between you guys when it comes to the wide receiver thing. Either way, this is very exciting tonight, I will say that.
I told Clint, I told him there's nothing, and this adds more, there is nothing that the Texans can do in this draft that would disappoint me. I don't think they're drafting a quarterback. I don't think they're drafting kickers and punters in this day.
Beyond that.
There's no, but like to me, I can make sense of whatever move they make.
Even a running back. What if it's Jonathan Brooks?
Okay, now that's dicey, but I could still make sense of.
I don't think it's the worst thing.
It's not
when
insane.
The ACL checks out.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Now if we came in here and they drafted, Spencer Rattler with pick 42. Now I'm in a different
That'd
spot.
That'd be saucy. That would be saucy.
Now I'm in a different spot. Yeah. But the same thing you're saying, in a way, is a year away. The same thing you're saying about the receivers is I can understand.
I get
the
what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
With the tackles. All right, coming up, we continue riding out here as let's really look at it. Where are the Texans going to go? Where should the Texans go? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump on it. They got picks 42 and 59. Where do you want the Houston Texans to go? We continue. Oh, Larry and Stafford and drug his ass out here. We continue riding on live out here at the draft party on the drive.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Texans draft party outside George R. Brown Convention Center. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are live back here, scaring Tyler to death, as we are live back here for the draft party, it is a fun time being had. The people look beautiful out here. A good time being had. Remember, coming up behind us, the fellas, Texans All Access,
John Harris, I see him over here. He is chomping at the bit, ready to go. The man that Clint is against, as he said, if Ladd McConkey's name is on that list, if he's available.
It don't matter, Ron.
At 42, John Harris said he is running. He is running that card for Ladd. That card up there.
I like Ladd.
But John Harris
the
coming up.
The answer is no,
Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Seth Payne will have second round coverage for you tonight. A big, big night here and a potential big night for the Texans. As I said, you can keep texting in. We'll go over that here in just a second. Who are the guys you want? Who are the guys you want the Texans to go after tonight? They've got picks 42 and 59. They've got ammo with pick three, a pick in the third round as well, two in the fourth. Who do you want the Texans to go after? We'll continue getting you ready for the draft coming up. As I said, we're live out here, and the party is starting to go. Somebody said they got Korean barbecue and beer right here in front of us, just ready to go. And have a good time as it is becoming a beautiful day. The sun's out, and the beautiful people of Houston are out here celebrating. Clint having a good time. Tyler, this is going to be a fun weekend, Tyler. It's going to be a fun weekend, and hopefully the Texans come out with a couple of contributors, and they've got the ability to do that, Clint. I'm telling you right now, I'll kick it off. I don't care how they got to do it because they got all the ammo that they need to go up and get this player if they want to. To me, when I look at it, who is available, the number one, and this goes to need, and I think the kid's got a chance to be a really good player in the system. To me, it's Johnny Newton. I didn't think he would be there. He is the defensive tackle from Illinois. Only one defensive tackle. I guess you can count the three technique potentially out of Missouri who went. He's like 285. But the only one true D tackle has gone, and that's Murphy at 16 to Seattle. Johnny Newton, who had a first-round grade by most, he is there. He is somebody, to me, that would really make a ton of sense for the Texans. And I would say that was a hugely successful night to be able to get the number two defensive tackle off the board. That's who I am hoping that the Texans go after and get aggressive to get.
Yeah, look, I think in a perfect world, man, you give me Cooper DeJean or Johnny Newton, as you mentioned, either one of those guys, if they last to 42, or if the Texans want to get froggy and jump up and get them, that perfect world, either one of those two guys would be tremendous for me. I mean, I like the DeJean kid even more as the more you look at him, just position versatility in terms of being able to play inside, outside at the cornerback.
And you like him more than just because of the historical factor.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be fun as hell to cover the only white corner in the league. That'd be fun as hell. We can damn sure on this show have a good time with that.
Don't you let him move you to safety,
White Boy Cooper, man. I mean, that'd be
don't you let him move you to safety.
It's got a ring to it. But I think those two guys would be I mean, knock it out of the park type of moves. I think they have to move to make that happen. I'll give you one that I like down the board here is the other Florida State defensive tackle or I guess defensive front because my boy Jared Verse is more of an edge than an interior player, but Brandon inside on that Florida State defensive front, I think he will be around at 42.
Yeah,
and I think he is a legit problem inside. He possesses some skill that just
I've seen
not
him
all
around
big
at 59.
Man
I've seen him mock to the Texans at 59.
Potentially that would be big. I think that's probably a little more realistic that they end up with him, and I could get real amped up. I think he is a guy that is definitely a rotational guy and could see more snaps early on than what I thought this particular pick, either of these picks, would end up seeing in Houston, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think the cornerback room, and I'm seeing a lot of people coming in. If Kool-Aid is there at 42, take him. And
wouldn't be opposed to it.
Hopefully, one of the D tackles, Chris Jenkins, as well out of Michigan, is one that's talked about coming through here. We have a lot of fun with Cooper DeJean, and I'm dead ass serious though. I do want to cover the first white corner since Jason Sehorn. But when you look at kind of the things that, you know, D'Amico has done both here and in San Francisco, you can get the sense
that he would love. I mean, love to have a player that he can do a whole bunch of things. Like, and I said this earlier, the name that I am hearing early compared to him is a L'Jarius Sneed, especially the early L'Jarius Sneed, who played mostly in the slot and was used as a blitzer big time, used around the line of scrimmage. You could tell just having versatile guys that can spin and cover, spin and blitz, can do a lot of different things. I think that's how he envisions to be able to try to use a Des King and Petrie and guys like that. And you said it, there's a space for him to play in multiple different roles for this defense if they were to get him. He's got that kind of skill set. It's not Kyle Hamilton, but it is more like Sneed, more the corner side of it. I don't know how comfortable you say, all right, just stick him on tight ends, or just stick him in the box all the time to play the run like another linebacker.
Yeah, you end up figuring that out, right? I mean, but a guy that has the history of playing multiple positions, and at the same time, a guy that can fill a need at a spot where, sure, I love Des King, but I'm no fool. I know you can upgrade from Des King. I love Jimmy Ward, right? I love Jalen Petrie, but we don't know exactly who either of those guys or how long either of those guys are going to be around. So, I mean, there's question marks at those two spots along with that corner opposite Derek Stingley Jr. So, I just don't think it's crazy that you look at a Cooper DeJean and go, this guy has the position versatility and the overall athletic ability, the tangible skill set to go, let's make a move if he's available, if he starts to slide at all. I don't think he is going to, by the way, but that would be my dream if he did for the Texans.
So you don't think either one of those two, Newton or Cooper DeJean, will
I don't think either one of them make it to 42.
I'll be honest, I was a bit surprised they're still there.
Fair. It very easily could not be.
Yeah, I thought those were guys that would probably go in the first. I thought you had to go in the first round get those players.
The key is here, Ron, is that you look at the draft order, right? In the second round, you've got several of the teams at the top of the second round that are wide receiver needy teams. Buffalo, New England, maybe not Arizona after taking
Marvin
Harrison Jr., but L.A. Chargers are in that mix. The Titans are in that mix. The Carolina Panthers are in that mix. So, I mean, you know, those are all teams that you could see taking
offensive,
stabs at wide
players,
receivers.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so, you know, you go on a run of all the and there are a ton of really good wide receivers left. So, I mean, you could see several of the slots between 32 and 42, you could see several of those going to tight ends. I mean, wide receivers. So then all of a sudden, you got DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Newton. You got a run of guys that aren't wide receivers that I think you could make hay with.
What's your gut? You think they sit? You think they sit and let the draft come to them, or you think they force the issue and go up?
I think they draft at 42. I think he uses one of those fourth rounds
to get up to 59.
To get up from 59 and get back in that mix.
Yeah.
That's where I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I don't know which one he moves. I don't think that.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he moves the first one.
I don't think Nick sits though. I would be surprised if the Texans sit and draft 42 and 59, like right. In those spots, with the ammo they can get. Because I mean, we've heard that, and John Harris coming up behind us will be able to attest to this as we. We know what he has left in his Harris 100, but there's thought that there's a drop off coming in the third round in terms of talent of where the thing is, and maybe you get aggressive to go up to get as many talents, and you don't worry about your fourth round picks as much, you know, to maintain keeping them. So we'll see. I don't think that they just sit there at 42 and 59. So it'll be. You know, it'll be fun. People right there. How could you take Kool-Aid over Cooper DeJean? Like to me, if those two were both sitting there, I know what I've said about the corner, the white corner situation, but I do think the versatility is probably something that sends you over the edge, and not to mention the little foot issue that Kool-Aid has as well that I think it has hurt him. But I think the versatility is that aspect, I think, would push me over the top with Cooper.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, especially, again, in the position that D'Amico and Nick are in and knowing those guys, right? I mean, they are, Nick is tried and true position versatility. Am I saying that right? Position versatility. But like, that's just, and it is. I mean, in D'Amico's system, I mean, you can put him in multiple positions, and if a guy has the ability to legitimately play those positions, then it's a beautiful thing. So, if I had my pick of those two, I would take DeJean as well.
Yeah, text line coming in with Devondre Sweat. I don't think that's the route they're going to go. One, and I just think the size wise, I just don't think he fits the profile of the type of defensive tackle they're looking for. I think they like longer, wiry, rangy. You know, the to me it seems like 6'5" and 305. 295 to 305 to 310 feels like the range that they're comfortable with, and he's like a 360 guy. So I'm not sure if they go there.
We will see shortly, baby.
We will.
We will see shortly.
We'll be turning this thing over to John Harris, as I see him walking through, ready to go. Mark Vandermeer and Seth Payne, they will take this thing over.
Tyler, Let's get it on, baby.
There it is, Tyler. You're riding with him, aren't you?
Yes, sir, all night.
Look at you, Tyler, man. As Clint said, boy, they just don't put anybody on that.
Nah, man, it's draft season. They bring out the A crew, man.
There it is. Look at Cecil out here bringing it.
Y'all are too kind.
Not today.
What? Where's Cece at?
He's right behind you on the TV screen.
Big Cece.
He's on the stage. Every time I see him up there, boy, I never would have thought it. I did not have that on my bingo card. He might be one of the top MCs in the city. You want somebody running an event? I mean, he has mastered this.
He does a hell of a job. There ain't no doubt about it.
I didn't know he had it in him.
It all started with that hamburger race. I'm gonna tell you, it all started with that hamburger race.
Hey man, that hamburger race, the tomato, the bread, hey, and the cheese, all of it.
We had about a 2-year run right there where the loudest decibels recorded in NRG was in that hamburger run.
He crushed that sucker. It really did. It really did. I tell you what,
all of a sudden, boy, Vandermeer and Johnny Harrison start showing up, and food and drinks, all kind of stuff starts coming out of the way. I don't know, man. That thing looks good, though.
It does. All right. We appreciate everybody that's held us down here. Tyler, obviously a great job in the studio. Aaron, our engineer, held us down here. Our promo team holding us down here as well. Everybody that helped put this together for the drive, we appreciate you. Clint, great job. As always, coming up, stay tuned. Draft coverage will continue right here on Sports Radio 610. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. Listen to the band is rolling, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
What?
Back waist.
Back waist, maybe.
Well, I like the term you use there. That's respectful.
I decided to go with that
one. Decided to go with that one, huh?
The back waist. Size, medium. What size again? Oh, stick that
long. What do I do here?
Oh. Yeah, supersize me.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.